Hi, today is November 25th, 2016. This is Mobile News Podcast number 185. I'm Pat Agosto, with my good friend John Westfall. And we have a very special guest today. Longtime friend, first-time podcast visitor, guest Mike Temporale. And hey, Mike, how you doing up there north of the border?
I'm doing very well, guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
I think you're only our second international guest.
Oh, really? I'm not the first?
No, Andy was the first.
Oh, well, okay.
Well, I mean, we have the Canadian expat, Jason. He was on...
That's true, but he lives in the U.S. now.
Last year. Yeah, yeah. He's the traitor. So
he doesn't count. If he was already in the U.S., we've ruled him out.
Yeah.
but in any case... we got a couple of news items, and we wanted to talk about Mike, about what he's up to and his thoughts and a few things we were curious about. First thing up, small item, but kind of funny to me, is that Microsoft Solitaire Collection is now available for Android and iOS. You know, for a long time, that was the big deal on Windows, right? In fact, I think it was on every Windows platform up until Windows XP, Windows Vista.
And it's still on, is it not?
No, it doesn't come with it. You can get it from the store for free. But it doesn't ship with OS anymore.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Minesweeper, same thing. What else was there? There are a couple others. The Gobang. What's the American word for it? I can't think of it now. Othello, or whatever they call it, the version that was on Microsoft.
Reversi.
Thank you.
Has anybody tested out the new Solitaire? Have they downloaded it? Do people still care? I keep seeing this as a news item, but
I know that's a weird part, right?
Yeah,
it must be a slow news week.
There are many lonely geeks out there. I would assume that while the three of us are blessed with spouses, I don't know how many others are. So it could very well be that this is a major story for that one niche demographic.
Hey, on the other hand, you know, my wife is geographically closer to you two guys than she is to me at the moment. She's up in Chicago with my daughter. So they spend the Thanksgiving week there. So it's just me and the rabbits here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Your daughter, based on your post yesterday, might already be halfway walking somewhere else, and your wife might still be in Chicago.
Well, let me see. Let me look at what Fitbit says.
You need to have both of their step comparison counts and see where the disparity is.
My wife's Fitbit broke. In fact, I'm supposed to order an Apple Watch for her today to replace her Fitbit, which to me is not right. You're supposed to replace a Fitbit with a Fitbit. But anyway, she currently, her 7-day total her 7-day step total is 106,000. Which is down, I guess, because it's, you know, the new day has started. But yesterday when I checked it, she was up at 123,000 steps, which is quite a bit for 7 days. But not unusual for her.
So how did the Fitbit break? My wife has a Jawbone Up, and she's gone through, I mean, I used to have an Up as well. They broke so quickly and so regularly. We actually have a spare. We purchased a spare
because
we know this is going to break again, right?
Yeah.
So how did hers break? I haven't had any problem with my Fitbit yet.
Okay, she has the Fitbit Surge HD, which is the wristband type. And apparently the button, you know, the button you press to get the step count and as well as and the area where it connects to the charger, that physically broke off.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So actually this happened like maybe one day after the warranty expired.
Oh, wow. Have you tried, though? Sometimes Fitbits, I know Up, we had that numerous times. It was right at the warranty period, and sometimes they'd be accommodating, sometimes they wouldn't.
Yeah, and actually, you know, Fitbit has a reputation for excellent customer service, so I did email them for my wife, and I think they're trying to, you know, my wife sent them some more information after she got the response mail from them, and hopefully they'll be able to figure something out.
Because I've gone through... I mean, the amount of Ups that my wife and I have gone through is ridiculous. I don't even know. We're on the Up. She's on the Up 3 now, I think, is the one she has. But, I mean, every 3 months they were breaking. I switched to the Microsoft Band.
Yeah.
I used that for version 2, but that kept breaking.
Oh, gosh.
So now I'm on the Fitbit Blaze. I've had it for about 6 months. I've had no problems. I'm not ready to try anything else. I'm going to stick with this thing because it's finally something that's not going
to
break.
Yeah, I just use a Fitbit One, and I just put it in my pocket, and there's not much to break on it. You know, a lot of people tell me they lose it, but I knock on wood, I've never lost mine. I've misplaced it, but then I found it. So, you know, it's never gone through the washer or anything.
Well, that's waterproof too, though, isn't it?
No, it's not. I think it might be sweatproof, but it is not waterproof.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I can tell you what happens to a Fitbit One if you get it wet. It basically shorts out. For me, it shorted out about half the batteries. So you would tell you it had a full charge, and then a day later it'd be dead. And so you charge it back up, and it would get up to full, and then a day later it'd be dead. So yeah. I have a Fitbit One around here somewhere, but what I've been using for the last 2 years has just been the Apple Watch. So I haven't had too much trouble with that.
Yeah. Yeah, and for my Fitbit One, if for people who don't have a Fitbit, what, you know, when you're saying what John's saying, well, the charge died the next day. That's very unusual because my Fitbit One will go 5, 6, 7 days on a single charge. So it's pretty efficient, however it's managing its power. Any rate, moving on. Next item up is Apple. Today is Black Friday as we're recording this. I'll leave it here till later. And this year's Black Friday is not much of one for Apple, at least. You know, as I said, my wife's Fitbit physically broke. And so I said, well, I'll go pick you up an Apple Watch if that's something you're interested in, if it's on sale. And so I popped in, you know, at 10 o'clock Hawaii time, midnight Pacific. And the only watch on sale, not sale, really, the only watch that has a gift card associated with the older watch Series 1. So I texted her this morning saying, hey, you know, there's no gift card on the other one. It's just regular list. So do you want it or not? I think she's thinking about it.
Yeah, I had the same thought. So I really have always kind of had a thing for smartwatches. And I thought, well, maybe I'll upgrade from the Apple Watch Series 1 to the Series 2. And I was even thinking, you know, I have a stainless steel Series 1. So I'll just get like the aluminum, maybe the black aluminum Series 2. And have it in my cart right now on Apple.com. But I don't think I'm going to pull the trigger because even a $25 gift card would probably been enough to make me think, okay, yep, I want to play with this enough. I'll go for it. But absolutely nothing. And being conspicuously the only thing that doesn't have anything attached to it today. And also being the picture that they've been using for this sale for the last 3 days. Yeah, it's really bizarre that they decide that that's the one thing not to put any kind of deal on. So right. Well, also, I might
go ahead.
Keep an eye out for other sales on it from third-party vendors, but I'm probably not going to buy it from Apple.
Yeah, I just got a text message from my wife. She says, go ahead and order it even without the card. So I'll go do that after the podcast. But in any case, the other thing that's not available with a gift card or some kind of incentive is the iPhone 7 series. The gift card is associated with the 6S series.
Oh.
Yeah,
I didn't look close enough.
And so that's annoying because my daughter has a 6, and I was thinking about replacing it with a 7 for her on Black Friday. In fact, I bought her 6 on a Black Friday 2 years ago. And I'll probably still replace it. I've just no incentive to do it today.
Yeah, that's not – there's nothing there, eh? The deals are pretty weak on the Apple side. I picked up a 6S. Weak. Yeah, I picked up a 6S used off Swappa maybe a month ago now. But it's been great. And I paid Canadian $700, which is a relatively good price. Today I see it's a 770 used or 770 new on their deal today. But yeah, I don't know that I would go for the 7 myself.
Yeah, I have. Go ahead, John.
I don't know. I already spent enough this week on iTunes. I picked up – this is completely unrelated. It's not in our show notes, but you guys will appreciate this. I finally decided I wanted to see what Blues Brothers and Caddyshack in HD looked like. So they were $14.99 each. And I got to say, I now have a better appreciation for set designers because now I'm looking even at a movie that – and that's really interesting to me that movies that came out in 1980, 1981, the set designers had this kind of, okay, we better make sure there are – you know, the writing on this is right or this design is right, that design is right, even though at the time no one would have ever seen it, even on the big screen. It wouldn't have been high enough resolution to notice. So
now, John, I got to find out. You have seen a Blues Brothers Caddyshack before, right? This is just the HD.
Oh, many times. Okay. And this was just, you got to remember, Todd, I didn't get a Blu-ray player until earlier this year when I bought an Xbox One.
Oh, okay.
So all my stuff is still DVD, so.
Now, I would have thought that those movies weren't even going to be available in HD. Like, did they? They must have had to go back and remaster it or something,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, that's what they had to do, and so that's why I was so amazed. I had them sitting in my wish list in iTunes for so long, going, "Really, HD? Really? Huh?" And of course, there's no preview of the HD because when you do the preview, they show the original trailers from 1981, 82, which is kind of unique and nostalgic, but they're not remastering trailers to, you know, make them look good.
So. Right.
So here's a question for you. Is it worth buying it in HD? I know the movie's inside and out. Do I actually need to see it in HD?
If you love the movies, I think you'll like having it in HD just to kind of see the blades of grass in Caddyshack and the writing on the hats and the arm patches and things like that. But other than that, there's no – unless you are a fanatic kind of like I am about those two movies, you really don't have much need to see them in HD.
Yeah. Now, speaking of Black Friday, before we started recording, we were talking with Mike about Black Friday, and I asked – you know, being kind of the dumb American, I asked him, do you have Black Friday up there and what day is it on? And Mike's answer kind of amused me. So, Mike, when is your Black Friday?
Our Black Friday is today. we never had this until the last couple of years, I guess, maybe 5 years at the most. But usually what people would do at this time of year is we would all head south of the border. We'd take time off work. We'd all go across the border. We'd pick up stuff from your side and bring it back with us. But the retailers here obviously didn't like that, and they started losing some money. So in the last couple of years, the Black Friday sales have picked up here. I think pretty much like you guys, they started Thursday night or mm-hmm. Wednesday night, and yesterday as well, and they're full blast today. But ours is very different than yours. Nobody's been shot in Canada at a Black Friday sale yet.
Well, it's hard to find the gun.
And I mean, everybody's lined up and everybody's polite. Hey, no, you're next. No, you go first. And, we're all sipping on our Tim Hortons coffee. And they're not the kind of wicked deals or slashed prices that you guys have. But it is still better than regular pricing.
And it's easier than driving 100 miles or so to.
Yeah. Most of us reindeer. Live pretty close to the border. Yeah, my reindeer get tired when we have to go down there, so I like to keep them here and let them rest.
So yes, apparently Canada has Black Friday the same day we do. Even though their Thanksgiving is in October, but oh well.
Yeah, our Thanksgiving falls on a Monday in October, so yours is a little bit different. How yours is on the Thursday, so everybody kind of takes Wednesday and Friday and makes it a super long weekend. Yeah. For us, it's just a regular 3-day weekend.
Yeah, and in fact, speaking, again, not tech or on the show notes, but this year my daughter's university for the first, and she's a senior, for the first time the entire Thanksgiving week is a vacation for them instead of just Thursday and Friday. So
that was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday as well.
The whole 5-day, workday week.
Yeah, the school I've been teaching at for the last 3 years, we've always had the whole week. And I think actually the previous school, no, this is the first school I've been at that's done that. But it really makes a big difference. And honestly, students don't want to be around for a couple of days just to drive back home.
Exactly.
So it's, of course, it makes for a very interesting sort of semester setup because next week is our last week of classes before finals week. What? So it's literally you have a couple of weeks of classes in November, then you have a whole week off, then you come back for dead week or the week right before exams, then you have exams.
Wow, what day does your semester end this?
The last day of classes is December 2nd, and then the last day of finals is December 9th.
Wow, my daughter doesn't get home to the 18th, I think, but
and then we go back on January 9th, we have a full month. Faculty have a full month. Staff get a week and a half off. So,
Nice.
So the difference you guys have here, though, I mean, you guys end up having turkey and then turkey really close together, right? You're about 5 weeks apart.
Yeah.
Not even. I think this year it's going to be a month.
Go ahead.
So for us, we get it, at the start of October. So it's a much greater period in between. We're not, doing turkey too often. And then I always tell the kids we can't start Christmas until after the best day of the year, which was the 18th, a couple days ago, which is my birthday. So after the best day of the year, then we pull out the Christmas tree, and that gives us a good month and a half of Christmas decorations and all that kind of stuff. But here, for you guys, I wouldn't want to do that until after Thanksgiving. So you'd be kind of setting it up right at the 1st of December. Mm-hmm. And it kind of shortened your Christmas season.
Yeah, in fact, today is the day that just before this podcast, Carrie and I went up to our storage unit and got all of our Christmas stuff, and she's setting it up right now as we speak. So, yeah, it's kind of a quick turnaround we have to have. You know, turkeys go down real quick, and Santa comes right out.
Well, yeah, well, that means the Canadians have a little bit more time to work off their Thanksgiving feast. And you know,
yeah, it usually takes about a week or so to get back to normal after a Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Well, you know, in Hawaii, where we have a large Asian population, it's even worse because right after Christmas is New Year's. Now, I know it's New Year's for everybody, but in Asian communities, New Year's is actually a bigger deal than Christmas because, you know, a lot of Asians aren't Christian, even though we celebrate Christmas. But, yeah, so New Year's Day is a big deal. And then a few weeks after that, although we don't celebrate it, the Asians, you know, the ones from the other side of the pond from us, they have Golden Week, so...
Well, and you were talking about turkeys, you know, only 5 weeks in between. This morning as I was eating leftover turkey, I was thinking about back in the late or mid-90s when grocery stores first started rolling out their points systems and rewards cards and things like that. My father was grocery shopping for my grandmother regularly. So I think at one point with like the bonus turkeys that we had, I think we had 4 turkeys at Christmas time.
Wow.
And so about one a month, we had a turkey up till Easter, you know, so it was like the January turkey, the February turkey, the March turkey. So I've actually decreased my turkey intake quite a bit since those days.
You know? Yeah. They'll put you to sleep. Okay. Next up, another Apple item. We've discussed this before, but, you know, they keep publishing these stats. So Apple now has captured, well, you know, a couple of weeks ago, it was, I think, some ridiculous 109% through some fantastic accounting magic. But they have now, according to one group, I don't have the analyst here, but I'll put in the show notes. Apple has captured a record 91% of global smartphone profits to absolutely nobody's surprise. But it is, you know, basically nobody else is making profits, essentially. Or not much.
We've seen that for years, though. I mean, that's always been the case. The only people making money on Android is Google and Samsung. I've been saying that for a while. And you can look at HTC. They've lost a crap load. LG comes out with a phone. Only time it does well is because it's backed by the Nexus brand.
By the way, for this particular quarter, because of, you know, Samsung's little problem with their Note 7, they have apparently didn't make the charts for profits at all. They were not
really
the list. Yeah, they were not in the net 9%.
I think that was actually how Apple got the 107 or 109% profit number, because Samsung had negative profits. So, the other company that makes money off of Android, of course, is Microsoft.
That's right.
So that's the irony of it all. Actually, this every time this point comes up, it always amuses me because, you know, I like all technology, and I think all three of us have used Apple, Android, Windows Phone, whatever we could get our hands on and play with. But the true diehards that will say that their platform is so good and everyone else's platform is so not good.
BlackBerry forever.
Yeah, BlackBerry forever.
Right. Go Canada.
But the true fanboys out there, it always amuses me that this is the number that the Apple fanboys point to, and then the Google fanboys point to the, you know, overall market saturation. And from a business standpoint, I know if I was a CEO, which one I'd rather have. I'd rather have most of the profits versus just having market share.
Cause
it's that age-old thing with Android. You're going to get better saturation, but you're not going to get as much money out of it.
Which reminds me, I didn't ask Mike, what kind of phone are you mostly using these days? Are you switching between phones?
I have a number of phones sitting right here on the table with me. Everything from my S7 Edge, iPhone 6S, and I have an old Nexus 5 and a Lumia 950 XL. That
I had a spot where the Note 7 was.
Actually, lucky enough not to have a Note 7. The Note, I've always stayed away from the Note just because of it's just a little bit too big for me. But my main phones are the 6S and the 7 Edge. I have a SIM in both of them. One's work, one's personal, and I use both of them daily. The 6S, I mean, the battery is phenomenal.
Isn't it, though? Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's beautiful. I wish Samsung could get a battery to last anywhere, even half as long as that. It's crazy.
You know what has a surprisingly good battery on the Android side is the Nexus 6 made by Motorola. It's not as good as an iPhone, but it's better than any Android phone I've used.
Is that okay? Yeah. I've seen that one a fair bit, but I haven't actually played with it or you know used one.
Yeah, and the way I know this is normally I like you, I'm kind of swapping between two phones on a within the day. I carry two phones, one Android, one iPhone. But when I was in the UK visiting my daughter while she was doing study abroad there last semester, I used only the Android phone because it's on Google Fi, which means I could roam very inexpensively. And so I was using my Nexus 6 all day long, and I had a little USB charger in my, you know, my man bag, but I never pulled it out during the day because it never ran out of a charge.
So that's what I find with the 6S. I mean, I can use that thing, you know, all day long for GPS in the car, everything, and at the end of the day, there's still plenty of battery. Quite often, I don't even charge it. I just leave it sitting there overnight, yeah. And it's still got plenty left for the next day.
Yeah, yeah. And so I was pretty impressed because, you know, I know some people do this kind of battery management where they turn off various radios, but I leave everything on, Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, everything, GPS. So, you know, I figure I'm going to use it. Why bother turning it off?
I'm in the same boat. I'm not going to be one to go flipping around and changing my settings all throughout the day to try to maximize it. It's got to work best for me.
Right.
And I'm in and off networks all the time, so it's just easier to leave it on.
Right. It's so interesting to me thinking about our collective past all coming from Windows Mobile, where we were very used to tweaking things extensively and having software that would, you know, turn on the radios at this time, turn them off at this time, mute it at this time, unmute it at that time. Just the ability to automate kind of everything. Then I think we all kind of jumped to Android and thought, well, this is great. And then we realized that half the time you do all those automations, you slow down your phone with all the install cruft and everything else that you're kind of working with. And now it's almost like, yeah, well, if I want to have fun, I'll play with the Android devices. But that iPhone actually gets the job done for the adult sort of things I have to do. Right. When I want to play, I'll pull out the Android phone and I can customize it every which way to, you know, wherever I want to go.
My only complaint about the iPhone 7 Plus is the Bluetooth stack, even after several firmware updates, is just still broken in my view.
I haven't used the 7, so I can't comment on that one. Yeah. But certainly the 6S, I've had no problems with the Bluetooth.
And the 6 Plus I had, which is one generation behind what you have, worked fine, even with the new, you know, iOS 10 and 10.1. So it's just the 7 Plus.
And my 7 Plus has had, the only Bluetooth issue I've had with it, and it's very bizarre, on the Beats Solo 3 headphones I picked up a few weeks ago, when I'm on phone calls, I'll occasionally get dropped audio. And it'll go back to the phone, and then it'll come back to the headset, and it's just this weird thing. But on regular listening to streaming music or podcasts, I can wander, you know, anywhere I want to go, and I never will drop out of range of my phone. But it's a bizarre sort of... So I think there is something weird in the Bluetooth stack for the 7 Plus.
Try this with your 7 and see if it... You see what I, or you hear what I hear. So go listen to a podcast or music and don't make it too loud. Actually, it doesn't matter, I guess. But anyway, listen to something via Bluetooth on your headset and then go read email or something. I get a lot of noise when I start doing something other than leaving the screen off and listening to the audio stream.
I'll have to play with it.
Yeah, yeah. Also, it doesn't sync well with some of my devices, so. As well as the 6 did.
Well, if you would just stop trying to use ActiveSync, you'll be okay.
Oh my gosh, ActiveSync!
I know. I think it's early. It's late enough in the game now that we don't have to have like a trigger warning before you say the word ActiveSync.
Well,
anymore.
You know, this is a PG-rated show, and we're not supposed to swear words.
So, just to spin it just back a little bit on the profit side of things. How long do you think Android can continue without getting its profits up there? Yeah, I mean, all these guys, HTC's been hanging by a thread for a while. All these guys, I mean, they gotta make money. They can't continue like this.
I have no idea that, you know, if I did, they'd hire me and I'd make a ton of money. But
I mean, I think we're starting to see this a little bit with even Google saying, okay, you're going to pay a bunch of money. you know, with the Pixel, and we're not going to do things on the cheap anymore. You're going to have to pay more money for these devices. Subsidies are completely gone in the U.S. It's going to be – everyone's just going to have premium pricing for what they're offering. Maybe they can subsidize their budget economy lines. So maybe, you know, if LG and others put out some high-end stuff that people like. But the high-end folks are usually already with Nexus Pixel or Galaxy phones. I don't see them necessarily going back to LG or Huawei or any of the other designers. So it's going to be a tough road for anyone who is not – Samsung or Google.
Yeah, it's going to be
in the Android space.
Yeah, it's going to be a thin margin, so they have to do what they're doing now, is make it up on volume. And you know, it's probably going to be stuff we don't hear about because we like the higher end type devices. But it's going to be folks like Alcatel making, you know, budget $40-$50 Android, basically feature phones for all intents and purposes. Very very intelligent feature phones, but nonetheless in that price range, you know, burner phones, that kind of stuff.
But and then how much, like, I don't know, I guess I'm looking at it and you think, who's going to be able to enter this market now? Who's going to be able to come in and make a make any difference? Because unless you come in with something substantial at a reasonable rate that's going to make you some profit, you're really, there's only a couple players and it's only going to shrink too, right? So Nokia, I totally understand and respect their decision to go with Windows because You sit there and you go, everybody's doing Android and nobody's making money.
Right.
So you could be another pony in that race, or you could try something different. Unfortunately, the something different didn't work for them. But
well, you know,
it's going to be tough. And you know, the old maxim of you can, if you as long as you're turning profit, you're okay. Isn't going to be enough because you're going to need to up your marketing game, and that's going to cut into those profits quite a bit. So making $5-$10 on a $50 phone, that's not going to be enough.
Yeah, and there are only two big players that do not make phones that could make an impact. One is Facebook, and they've tried it, failed, right?
Multiple times.
Actually, three. There's Amazon, who've also failed.
And then there's
Microsoft, who also failed. But they all three have a lot of money.
Microsoft has not failed yet. According to them, they are still in it.
Well, that's
true. Did you hear the announcement the other day? Satya apparently made a comment that the next Windows phone will be, you know, spectacular or something to this effect.
Right. Yeah, I did see that. And
well, that's something you haven't heard before. I mean, we've never been told that the next version is going to be the version that really blows everyone else out of the water. I mean, I don't think I heard that 10 years ago. Did you guys hear that 10 years ago? I'm not sure.
Well, you know, I only listen to Johnny Ive, and, you know, I'm waiting for Johnny. For the iPhone 8, I'm waiting for him to say something realistic, like, this is the okay-ish iPhone that you've ever seen.
Well, the way I see it, the 8 is going to be, and of course, we're all speculating. I think the 8, the actual iPhone 8, is going to be probably the best iteration we've seen in a long time. Just going by the tradition of 8 and the culture around 8 being lucky and 8 being special and so on and so forth, I really think that Apple held back on this release to bring out more and better on the 8.
Also, it's an even number like Star Trek movies. But no, seriously, I do too. I hope it has, you know, wireless charging of some kind that doesn't burn your hand when you hold it after charging. Because well, you know, if you've ever done wireless charging, it does get pretty warm when you pick it up.
The Galaxy line, the S7, has been pretty good on that. It's not as bad as the 6 was.
Yeah. In fact, you know, the Nexus 6 I mentioned earlier has Qi charging. Unfortunately, the case I put on it is so thick I can't wirelessly charge it anymore. But when I could, it was pretty good, actually. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to
that. Todd, since you and I both have the 7 Plus, if the 8 is great, are you going to upgrade?
Well, you know, this year, for the first time, I switched to the – I forget what Apple's plan is, but I'm on the plan where if I want to, I can turn this phone in and get the new phone at, you know, whatever it is I'm paying on a monthly basis now.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer is yes, if it is the latest. I usually skip a generation. So
yeah, and I haven't gone to that plan, and I think this year purely when I was thinking about what I want to do with the 7, I didn't go with that plan just to have next year where I could go with it and still have the 7 Plus, because I like to keep at least one semi-newish Apple device around for development work. I still have an Apple developer account that I like to play with stuff with, but other than that, it will be kind of cool to see what the 8's going to do.
Yep, looking forward to it. So, Mike, you're in the 6S. Are you planning to move up to the 8 if it is super-duper next year?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I probably will be upgrading one of the two of them next year. I don't know which one. We'll have to wait and see what the rumors hold. But both of these are doing a fabulous job now. I probably will get one of the two. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then next up is, oh, my Amazon Echo seems to think I'm talking to it. That's all right.
That's okay. Alexa this morning thought I said something to her when I was yelling to Carrie across the apartment, and it was completely not to her. So when she said she couldn't quite make it out, I thought that's because no one was talking to you. So,
yeah, well, Alexa's echo-centric, right? So. But anyway, she always thinks we're talking about her. in any case, you mentioned that Mike tweeted. I must have missed Mike's tweet. You mentioned Mike tweeted buying gifts.
Mike tweeted something this morning about the. And this is actually something, as he's kind of smirking over there, that I think is something a lot of us sort of deal with now. So the idea, Mike, do you want to explain what your dilemma is with your Christmas shopping?
Yeah, it's been a battle for many years now. My wife, I'm horrible with money. I am so bad with money. So before I even got married, I gave my wife access to all my accounts and everything. She was still in school, and I was working, and she had more money than I did. So yeah, I realized very early on. So I get an allowance, and there's one account in my bank that I go in, and whatever's in that account is what I'm allowed to spend. So I have a credit card but when it comes this time of year, when you're buying something, when I want to buy her a gift, the problem becomes she's in there and she's paying the credit card off as soon as stuff. Like every week she goes in there. Oh, okay, boom, pays off a little bit here and there. So whatever I buy her, like I was looking at something today and I'm like, okay, how am I going to buy this? We're a little over a month away and she's sure as hell going to know before the end of next week that I bought something from this particular company because she's going to see it on the credit card. Mm. She won't know what it is, but she's going to have a pretty good idea.
Okay, I did see this tweet. I remember this tweet now, and I did laugh.
So, yeah, it's a problem I typically run into, and usually I'll try to wait really close till Christmas to buy her a gift, but then you're really stuck, and it's harder to buy things online unless you go with, like, Amazon or one of the big names that can get it out to you in a short period of time.
Right. Well, you know, the one way around it, and I'm trying to think this through, is maybe you can buy a couple of gift cards and use that to buy the gift for your wife.
So that's kind of, I guess, what John's suggestion was, is look at one of these, like Visa gift cards or something. Yeah. I've seen them.
They're expensive, by the way.
Are they?
Yeah, you got to pay some kind of fee, because we thought about that for my daughter when she went overseas for study abroad, and we just ended up getting a card that had no foreign transaction fees. But yeah, those gift cards have like a 5% fee or something pretty high on them.
So my other concern is, like, I know with my credit card, Visa has this whole online purchase protection and they, guarantee all sorts of stuff. And part of it is a username and password when you buy from certain sites. And part of it is other sites not shipping to addresses that aren't on record with that account. So how do these prepaid work? Like, I go and I put $100 on it and I can use it anywhere and there's no questions asked? Or are they going to – so there's – I guess that's my next concern. I'm not really – ready to try something like that at this, at this point in time, because if it fails, then I'm still without a gift and I'm in the same situation.
Well, the only other thought that I had, now hearing your situation, and that might be an option if she'll allow it, would be that you would get your own get a credit card that she wouldn't have access to that would be set up to auto pay from your allowance account.
Get a debit card. So
that way all she would see on your allowance account would be a payment to that credit card, and then that credit card you would have kind of You would be the only one that knows what comes through that credit.
If Mike's allowance were put into a debit card under his name, then he'd still be under the allowance situation, but it, you know, he could.
But the transactions would still come through on one account.
Can you use a debit card online? Can you use a debit card on?
As far as I'm aware, a debit card behaves can be used exactly like a credit card, except you have prepaid for. Well, you have kind of cash in it already, I guess. Right? It's like a checking account.
Yeah, really? It'll work just like a credit card. The problem is you don't get any of the purchasing protections that you get with credit cards.
Right. Right.
Debit cards, at least in the United States, Canada might be a little bit different because they're nicer up there. But here, if you buy something with a debit card and you can't do a chargeback easily on it like you can with a credit card, a lot of credit cards will give you extended warranties on things you purchase.
No, that's
true. You won't get that with a debit card. And if your debit card is compromised, that's money coming straight out of your bank account that you then have to file to get returned if there's fraud. Whereas if it's on a credit card, it's just a chargeback.
So don't use it with eBay.
I wouldn't actually. I would try going to get a special credit card that would just be your hidden credit card, something like that. Because, for example, with our situation with my wife and I do all the bill paying and everything like that, but she has a credit card that she's had for, I don't know, 10, 15 years now that I never was on because it predated when we moved in with each other. So I don't know what actually gets bought on that card. I just know that every so often I see a transaction go out of her bank account to that card to pay it off. So that would be one way to kind of keep the surprise element.
So I just pulled up Amazon here, threw something in my cart, and went to the checkout. There is no debit card option, Visa, MasterCard, or American Express, Amazon.ca.
Debit cards are from Visa or MasterCard, so
you just. So it would be considered a debit card?
I think so.
Yeah, because in the United States, at least, our banks issue us debit cards that have a Visa logo or a MasterCard logo on them.
Oh, so your regular like bank Interact card where you go to the bank machine, take out $20, has like Visa stamped on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, ours don't have that.
This would be interesting. This is interesting for people in America who are talking about immigrating to Canada. So.
Yeah. So I mean, you can use your credit card as a debit card and get cash from it, but nobody up here. I mean, most people up here don't do that. Most people just use it in the credit form.
That's why it's been such a problem down here with debit cards, because they are used as anywhere Visa or MasterCard's taken. People assume debit cards and credit cards are the same thing anymore. And that's where I've had friends who, you know, I went to this hotel and I gave them my credit card and they put a $1,000 hold on my account and then I couldn't go out for dinner that night. It's like, well, you used a debit card and they put a $1,000 hold on your bank account.
Right.
And had no money left. Because it's a big problem. There's some fact, and this is a fact that cracks me up that Jason Dunn always disagrees with me on, that under 30 years old, only about a third of people have an actual credit card.
No.
Most 30-year-olds and younger are just using debit cards in the U.S.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. That makes sense.
Well, that's not
good. Because they don't know of any difference.
Yeah.
Their whole lives, their whole economic lives, a debit card has had a Visa or MasterCard logo on it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so that's definitely a difference with us. We don't have that. So, well, there, you guys
a lot more places to get poutine. So yeah,
there's pretty much every corner.
We apparently have a poutine place here in Honolulu somewhere, but I've never been there.
We have an everything place in Honolulu. you could get foods there that I'm pretty sure I'd have to drive at least 2,000 miles to get somewhere around me. So.
Well, let me tell you, if you ever have a chance to try durian, do it. Make sure it's really cold, though. But anyway.
Good.
For folks
who need catfish, come down to Mississippi. Okay. We've got you covered
on
that.
And for those of you who have not tried durian, it's a fruit. It's super tasty. But if it gets warmer, if it approaches room temperature, It releases a pungent odor. Let's call it noxious. In fact, it is banned on airlines. You cannot carry durian on board an airline, much like a Samsung Note 7. But
For similar reasons. Yeah. It will take the flight down in one way or another. So,
but it is tasty when it's cold. Just make sure it's really it's a nice chilled durian. Otherwise, you won't be able to get near it. Any case.
I can imagine what it does when it gets inside of you, and then your room temperature are warmer. So I don't think I want to know what happens.
I have eaten it with no ill effects, so I don't know okay. if the acids and so forth in the stomach just neutralize it or whatever. But
the ground that we cover on this podcast.
Well, it's Mike. I don't think we've gotten this. I don't think we've gotten this far afield before.
Go Canada.
Okay, but anyway, so speaking of the holidays, regardless of which one you celebrate this time of the year, so we're just talking about gifts that Mike's trying to figure out how to get to surprise his wife. But what kind of stuff are we buying? I mean, I've been looking at I've been looking at low-cost items. Like, I picked up this Bluetooth. Let me see. Can I see myself here? Here we go. I know nobody else can see except Mike. But I picked up this little Bluetooth speaker for, like, $12 from Amazon, I think. And it's pretty good. I kind of like it. It
looks pretty nice.
Yeah.
Does it have a battery in it as well?
Yeah, it's rechargeable. It's got a little USB, micro USB charger in it. Okay. So, you know, I was thinking, I bought my daughter an Amazon Echo Dot this summer to take back to college with her. And it, you know, this speaker's okay, but it's not portable, or it has to be plugged into the wall. So I thought I'd have buy one of these to pair with her Echo and see if she, you know, she wants it. So for $12, if she doesn't want it, I'll keep it. If she wants it, I'll buy her a new one and keep this one. But anyway, she can test it with my Echo when she comes home. And one mistake I made, you know, so sometimes when you go on Amazon, it's Black Friday sales, which started 2 weeks ago, I think.
Something like that.
I've been wanting another lightweight Bluetooth headset for my iPhone 7 since the one I have doesn't pair with it consistently. So I saw this. This is another like $12 or so. You can see it's pretty small, right? Just a headband. It, you know, not as probably maybe not as light as the AirPods that John still doesn't have. But on the other hand, it's $138 cheaper. And but the problem was, because it's one of those things that you have, you know, 58 seconds if you want this deal or not. And I said, oh, the pressure. Okay, I'm going to buy it. I didn't notice it doesn't have a microphone. So it's literally It's literally just a Bluetooth headset, which is okay. You know, I mean, for $12 or $14, whatever I paid for it, I'm not complaining. But when you are on those Amazon things and you're being pressured by them to, you know, press that button in the next 58 seconds, do take a look at small details. Otherwise, you might be slightly disappointed. But anyway, who makes this thing? I think it's called Photic. Nothing against them. They did not misrepresent it. I just didn't read it carefully.
It is just weird that it's one of those things. I take microphones for granted in Bluetooth anymore. I assume that they're there, and I always try to double check to make sure they're there. And up till now, they always have it. But apparently there are some out there that Amazon is heavy-handedly pressuring Todd to buy that don't have it.
Well, you know, it's like somebody was asking Paul McCartney one day the deep meaning of some song. And he said, you know, sometimes a song is just a song. So there is no, and sometimes earbuds are just earbuds. There's no microphone. So a little tip as you do your holiday shopping with what's the word I'm looking for? High pressure sales robots.
Well, my shopping has been thus far. One of my favorite things is there's a website, and they don't advertise with us. They should, because I always have talked about them and enjoy them, is Zazzle.com. Zazzle. They do customizable products, and that's kind of been my go-to for the last 5 years, because during their Black Friday pre-week and week of Black Friday and next week, they'll probably do cyber deals all week. They discount things usually 50 to 75% off. So I've been able to get canvas matted prints and things, you know, prints on canvas and things like that for under $20, $30. So it looks like you really liked whoever you gave it to, and you just saved 60% off, 70% off on what you got them. So that's kind of what I've been doing lately. A few interesting things from Amazon, but I don't really have, you know, this year I gained a godson and a niece, and so Carrie and I are buying baby gifts and things like that. But otherwise, nothing all that crazy that we're looking for this year for anyone.
Yeah, I know on my side, I don't think there's anything too crazy being purchased either. In the past, I have purchased from Shapeways, a 3D printing site.
Oh.
So I actually went on there and I got, it's really nice. It was like a pendant, necklace pendant, and it's a 3D printed in metal, and it's a heart. And it's got some intricacies in the middle of it and stuff. And so I had that printed, and that was a good gift. I just had to go out to Michael's and get a chain for it. But I did that in the past. But this year, in terms of big, you know, amazing ideas, no, we don't have anything kind of amazingly scheduled for gifts this year. Well, a little bit of tech here and there, and you know, just some games and odds and ends.
Hey, so are you? I know John is an Xbox player. Are you also, Mike?
I am. Yes.
So I am not an Xbox player anymore. I have an Xbox 360 that I don't even know if it boots up anymore. But so what's the game of the year for you two guys?
Well, my son is desperate for Titanfall 2.
Oh, okay. I've heard of that.
I can tell you something about Titanfall 2, but go ahead.
he played the beta when the beta was available, and he had a lot of fun with that. He's also a fan of the Forza 6 or whatever it is. His buddy's got that one. They do a lot of car racing. Other than that, I mean, the problem my wife always has is I buy what I want when it comes out. So for me, I mean,
same problem.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm playing some Gears right now and some Halo, and Rocket League is my current favorite.
So I'll tell you, Titanfall 2, I was a big fan of the original Titanfall, played it to death, was really excited for Titanfall 2. The single player campaign in Titanfall 2, which is new, original Titanfall didn't have it. It's actually really good. I've really enjoyed that. But the matchmaking, I'm not a good first person shooter person. Unlike most Americans, I don't have a lot of guns near me all the time, and I'm not picking off people regularly. So I just really am not that adept at it. And the matchmaking is just horrendous. So the little Xbox gaming group that I'm in, and our, you know, comrade Jason Dunn, your former comrade Mike, and Todd's, and my inside our country, he and I and a couple others have played it, and it's just we've found that we're getting ourselves destroyed because, you know, as first level or eighth level characters, we're getting thrown in with people who have been playing it since launch date, I'm convinced, in beta, and we're just getting owned like crazy. So that's the one thing I hope they kind of fix with Titanfall 2, but otherwise it's a pretty solid game on Xbox.
I find Microsoft is pretty good with the Halo on making sure they kind of group people in like skill sets. And I've desperately noticed that certain games don't have that. My son was Battlefield or Battlefront or the Star Wars one that was out.
Okay.
I forget Battlefield or Front or whatever. He loved it. He wanted to play it all the time. And then, you know, he got in there and he was good for a little bit, but after a while, the people just were able to beat him in skill level. And now every match he's put in, he can't do anything. He's shot down before he has a chance. Wow.
Yeah. That's kind of what we've been experiencing with Titanfall 2. And it's just I almost wish, and Microsoft had this to some extent back when the original Xbox 360 came out, where it was, you know, what kind of gamer are you? Are you, you know, very competitive? Do you just want to have fun? And I wish that there was a way that they determined that versus someone, because obviously if I'm hyper competitive and I just want to pick off noobs all day, I'll just say that I'm a fun gamer, and then I'll go in those matches and destroy people. But I almost wish there was an algorithm in most of these games that looked at your style of play, decided, okay, what sorts of interactions do you like to have? Do you really, you know, is it all about how many points you can get, or do you just enjoy sort of running with your friends and killing each other occasionally and sort of figure that out? But I assume that doesn't make much money. I assume that it probably makes more money to cater to the people who will buy every new first-person shooter out there. In fact, the last point that we had on the rundown today, since we're talking gaming, I found interesting that 12 years ago this week, World of Warcraft was released, which is arguably the only type of modern gaming genre alternative to first-person shooters, you know, these MMORPGs. And they have even been losing popularity, but it really struck me that if you aren't into first-person shooters and you're not into World of Warcraft, it's a lonely gaming world out there today.
Really?
Well, that's supposed to change now, right? We've got Nintendo coming out with the Mario thing on the iPhone. It's going to be out in a couple weeks. That should change it. And you got Pokemon Go. I mean, that's a little bit different.
Yeah, okay. But that pretty much died about 3 months ago, I think. Todd, do you still play Pokemon Go?
Mike, are you still... I never played Pokemon Go, so I don't know.
I thought you were playing. I thought you had gotten into it at some point.
No, not me. Not me. My daughter did.
Yeah, my wife and I, we play it with my son. Well, you know, whenever we're going somewhere, it gives us, you know, something to... My daughter was into it for about 2 weeks, and then it was like, yeah, forget it. But with my son, if we're out grocery shopping or something, he, you know, it's something we can all do together, and it's fun.
Well, I told Todd when it came out, I was playing as a Pokemon Sanctuary. So I would open the app while sitting at a restaurant or sitting at coffee. And if a Pokemon happened to wander by, it could come hang out with me and I'd catch it. But otherwise, I wasn't actively going out and trying to grab them. They could just come to me for a safe space and hang out in my virtual Pokeballs.
Yeah, I'm probably in the same ballpark as you.
Well, hey, I wanted to ask Mike about Shapeway since I've never heard of it. So this is a site where people with 3D printers produce crafts and things? No?
No. Designers, anybody can make a design.
Okay.
You upload it to Shapeways.
Okay.
And Shapeways will they're a marketplace. They print it, they ship it, they do the fulfillment.
Okay.
So you're browsing from all these designers that have created different things, put it up there. Some of them are grossly overpriced. Some of them are reasonable. And they can 3D print in plastic and metal. And I think they even had like gold as well as silver stuff there. So it's pretty cool. There's all sorts of stuff on there.
Right. And you don't actually need a 3D printer yourself. It's just...
Nope, not at all.
Doing 3D design and selling their designs that can then be printed. Cool.
Exactly. Yeah. That's pretty cool. It's pretty neat. There's a lot of really cool stuff there.
That is pretty cool. The last thing I wanted to mention is something I've noted before that I think is a pretty good deal, and that is many of the various streaming subscriptions that let you share with your family. So this past year, I switched my Google Play Music account to family account, which meant I was grandfathered in at a wonderful, I think, $7.99 a month, so I had to double it to like 15. But still, I can share it with my daughter who's in college. And so what it meant is, if she wanted to, she doesn't have a television. And so if she wanted to watch something, I said, well, just tell me what you want to watch and I'll subscribe for it for you, since I usually watch the same show she watches. And that worked out well. And yesterday, I think it goes on for a couple of days, Google Play has a 50% off any movie sale. It's only one movie. But I grabbed, Secret Life of Pets, which I know she had seen already, but I hadn't seen and wanted to. So I let her know. I said, hey, you know, you've got a plane flight back to Oregon from Chicago, from Illinois. So if you want to download it before you go to your iPad, you know, it's there in a shared library for you. So it's kind of neat. I really appreciate the ability to share that stuff with my daughters, you know, kind of.
Yeah, that's something that I'm trying to find a good solution to, and it's still kind of lacking. So there's one of the big divides between the U.S. and Canada is content. Right. So Netflix Canada sucks.
Really?
It's horrible. The day it came out was about 3 or 4 years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago now. I signed up on day one. I'm like, yes, finally, Netflix in Canada. And I went through the catalog, and there was no Blues Brothers, no Caddyshack, no Star Wars, no, like, everything that I would possibly want to watch was not in the catalog. They have evolved it since, and they've brought more to it, But everybody in Canada is stealing from the U.S. on Netflix. They VPNing into the U.S. to get the good content because we don't have it here. And that's the same thing with a lot of these things. The old Zune that Microsoft had, yeah. We never had the marketplace here. We could never get the music ever. For it here. Ever. Never. I think it came out right in the last year of its life or something like totally worthless. Now we do have the Microsoft one, Groove. Google is here. I haven't really played with the Google one too much, but I find the content is not what I want. It's not, the level isn't there yet.
And it's so really I'm licensing, right? It's licensing, it's all licensing. By country. Yeah. Well, one thing I like about the Google, and I've mentioned this many times to John on this podcast too, one thing I like about the Google All Access Music is if you subscribe to it, you also automatically get YouTube Red, which means the ads go away in YouTube.
Nice.
And I watch YouTube a lot. There's a lot of fun stuff on there. It's not just YouTube music. It's anything on YouTube that has a B-roll or an ad going through it. So that's really nice.
Google Play Music All Access or just All Access?
I think they changed the name a couple times. But if you go to music.google.com, you'll see whatever the situation is in Canada. And I'd forgotten that. Trying to get a price on it. Yeah, I've forgotten about it. And I know when I was in the UK, I did notice I saw different things in the UK that I did not see in the US. But I read somewhere, I think it was on CNN or MSNBC, one of those places, that the countries with the best Netflix licensing are in South America. A lot of the movies that we can't see in the US, you can see in some of the South American countries. I can't remember exactly which ones. But I think it was several of them, which is a little disappointing. And actually, here in the U.S., Netflix's licensing is becoming less than stellar. I mean, I still use it a lot, but because they're having a harder and harder time getting content licensing deals, they're starting to produce their own stuff, which is pretty good, I guess. And I think their goal is by 2020 to have 50% of their content be original content, which is kind of interesting.
Wow, that's kind of different. I really think that the company that's going to win this whole digital streaming is the one that figures out live TV, live sports, ties it all together for a reasonable price on demand, right? Like, I don't need what the cable company is selling anymore. I have it because I want to be able to see the news tonight, or I want to be able to see the hockey game on Saturday or what have you. But I really don't need everything else, and the price is astronomical, but there isn't a good alternative yet either.
Yeah, I am not a cord cutter, so you know I haven't looked at that real hard. I still do have a cable TV subscription. Don't plan to get rid of it anytime soon. But I know a lot of people, including people with young children, who have cut the cord, and it's really interesting how they've gotten around things.
Yeah, well, I've done it, and it is the only time I'm really annoyed by it is live sports. Yeah. So sports, and really it's just championship games and playoff games. Because if it's a sport I really follow, I usually buy like MLB.TV and things like that, so I can follow that. Yeah, it is. But, you know, I like watching my teams lose regularly. So
one of the big sports channels up here just launched a digital subscription for $25 a month. So you can stream it to whatever device you're on. $25 a month? That's way too much. Yeah.
Very expensive.
There was a news story somewhere this week about Amazon looking into live sports for Prime Video.
Oh, I didn't read that one.
Yeah, I noticed that somewhere. I'll have to see if I can find it.
I know there was also talk about Amazon creating their own ISP in Europe or something.
Interesting.
Yeah, at least kind of us, us in North America out of the loop. But that's kind of an interesting way to deliver their content by becoming their own ISP of some kind. I don't know if it's wireless or wired or what, but.
I wonder if that's I was just going to say,
The Verge basically reported that Amazon was exploring adding live sports to Prime 4 days ago. But that was in the show notes.
Prime here, no video. Mm-hmm. So the whole purpose of signing up for Prime with the free shipping and expedited, that's great, but there's no videos in Canada on Prime.
Okay, do you get actual expedited shipping with Prime in Canada? Like, is it 2 days?
Yeah, you can do with the Prime. You can get it super quick, but I live within, half an hour, 40 minutes of the fulfillment center. So you just pick regular shipping and you get it within 2 days anyway.
Oh, okay. Well, if it makes you feel any better, Mike, in Hawaii, I am a Prime subscriber. I do get video, but 2 day shipping takes about a week and a half.
Really?
Yeah. And I have complained to them about it, and they're saying, well, tough luck.
But they sell it as 2 day shipping for you still, right?
Except to Alaska and Hawaii.
Oh.
Yeah. And I've read the fine print, and they don't say except to Alaska and Hawaii, but there's like finer print somewhere.
Oh, so fine print.
But it's better than having not Prime, because then it takes 2.5 weeks.
Holy smokes. Wow. Yeah. I guess I'm spoiled. I'm living too close to Amazon.
I know. When I order stuff for my daughter, it's like, you know, next day or 2 days. So it's pretty amazing.
I forget where I live. That it was before Prime came out, but one of the places I lived did have a fulfillment center, like where Mike's at, you know, 40 minutes or so away. And it was amazing. It was there quick. Yeah.
Yeah, we're close enough that if they get this drone thing working, I mean, it's possible that we could have a drone delivery. We're pretty close, right? We're kind of maybe on the fringe, and they might have to look at an extended battery to hit our house. But I'm interested. I'm willing to try it.
Okay. Any case, anybody got anything else to add to this before we wrap up this podcast? Alrighty then. I want to thank Mike Temporale for being our special guest. We got to have you back sometime. It was lots of fun. It was an honor. We didn't even get to talk about, you know, what to do if you move to Canada and you need a cell phone provider and you need a. I mean, people are interested, right? I mean, you know, I'm going to stick where I am, but.
Yeah, and you know what? That. For years, we've been looking at ways to get your plans in Canada, right? There's a lot of people up here who talk about, okay, well, can I sign up for that T-Mobile one with the unlimited roaming and then just stay in Canada? You know, we're always looking at trying to get a better deal. Yeah, we can't. The answer to that is no, you can't. You have to return to the U.S. within 3 weeks or else it cuts off.
We should ask you about how Google Fi works. I mean, if you can actually get a Google Fi account up in Canada or not.
No.
And I don't know if you heard Mike and John and I talked about it earlier, but I took my Google Fi phone, my Nexus 6, to the UK twice this year. And my total roaming charges for, how long was I there? 17 days in total, two trips, about $9.50 American.
Wow.
And that's using it as normal, you know, picking up the phone to make a call, receive a call, GPS, you know, Wi-Fi. Well, not Wi-Fi doesn't count, but, you know, so, LTE, that kind of thing.
Wow.
Yeah. So I used it just like I did here in the U.S. and $9.50 after 17 days. So I was a happy camper.
No kidding. I'd love that.
Okay. Anyway, thanks again to Mike. Thanks to John as usual. And we will talk to you next time. Hope everybody had a good turkey day. And we'll talk to you before Christmas and all the other holidays coming up.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.